Bachelorette number one isn't out here in half a tick, I'm gonna ice Bachelorette number two.
Let's play a game. It's called Scary Noises. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 123. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, we have Brian. We do not cross against the light, Dunaway.
Indeed. First officer's log, stardate 50614.3. In preparation for Voyager's return to Earth, I have been running a program on the holodeck to simulate hooking up with girls in L.A., but I think a jealous 7 of 9 has been messing around with the program. Now the ladies are either carbon dust, like that vomit cleaner that janitors use, talking zombies, or valley girls who think I'm gay. Screw it! I'm dressing up as Santa and stealing some cars. Assimilate that, you jealous bitch, Borg. Chakotay is not gay!
Yeah, he is not gay. But vomit dust?
Vomit powder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like a janitor, if someone pukes in the school, that's what they use right. to soak it up? All right. It's like kitty litter for the ill.
Oh, so gross.
Also, speaking of Chakotay, Randy, Commander Chakotay Jordan.
Perfect. Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. I used to be a Galaga champion. I'd always enter my initials on the high scores, D-I-K. Back when most everyone did, I'm sorry. Back when most everyone died that one night, y'all remember the night, there was this girl who was trying her best to beat my score. We both survived the apocalypse, and one day I found her standing in the middle of the street. Picked her up in one of my 28 Jaguar convertibles. About 10 minutes later, she realized who I was and got out of the car. Never saw her again. Her initials were ASS.
Right.
Wait, wasn't it Tempest?
Galaga?
Yeah, it's Tempest.
It was Tempest, yeah. And actually the girl who won the arcade game is not even the one that got in the car with them. But we're not going to nitpick Randy's opening.
Why would you nitpick Ridicles. This amazing story?
No, it's a great story. It's a great story. I look at it as like an alternate reality story where the game was indeed Galaga and not Tempest. Right. But that was fantastic. Also with us, Brian DMK Ibbett.
Hi, so welcome to our secret underground lair in the desert. So over here in this room, we euthanize children. Let's go down here to the hall. Over here in this room, we drain the blood of the uninfected to create our serum. And over in this room, we have to type in a series of 6 numbers into this computer terminal every 108 minutes, or else my leg warmers fall off. Ah, don't hit me with the keyboard!
Nice. I totally got that Dharma Initiative feeling going on with that thing. Totally.
I had seen this movie probably 2 dozen times, VHS mostly, but a little bit once in the theater way back in the day when it came out. And I do not remember those extra people or that place at all.
Not at all.
Isn't that weird? So I'm not the only one. I just completely out of my memory.
This was an HBO staple for me. I never owned it on any VHS or DVD or anything like that. Never saw in the theaters. It would always just be on, and I'd always catch the beginning, and I think I'd always get bored and walk away before we got to the underground.
That might be because at some point it kind of ends, sort of, with the helicopter flying away and the whatnot, and then has that bit. And then but I do always remember the ending with Chakotay playing football with the kids in the street in a tux.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But I don't remember most of that stuff. I don't remember, what was in Smokey and the Bandit, the buddy there. Was it Smokey and the Bandit?
No, it's Anyway But
Was that the one? He's been in a few of movies we've seen now.
Yes, right. Yes.
I like that guy, by the way. I think he's great, but he was terrible in this. And
Jeffrey Lewis.
I just cannot abide that middle or the last third, that all sucked.
Right.
Just sucked. And okay, let's back this up. Boop, boop, boop. I want to say this about the thing before I let Fletcher have his say. Night of the Comet, I thought was one of my favorite, maybe guilty pleasures, but still one of my favorite things of the 80s. I really did. I came into this going, you guys, I'm so excited. It's a movie I remember. Post-apocalyptic, awesome. And it's really not. It's not very good. That being said, totally ripe for a remake. Get a new cast, tweak that story, no extra other people out in some bunker.
Didn't they make it called Maximum Overdrive? Did they already do that?
Did they?
No, but that's a little bit of a different story.
Comet Trail, people freaking out. Trust coming to life.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it brings the vehicles to life, whereas in this case, there's a really confused zombie story here, and I wonder Scott Fletcher.
I love the confusion.
It's a little bit weird, but here is Scott Fletcher's take on the film that we'll all start to call Night of the Crappit. Sorry, of the Comet. Here are his comments.
Night of the Comet. Earth has been ripped to shreds after a run-in with a killer comet, and those who have survived are in a fight for their lives in this campy cult classic. Valley Girl Reg, played by Catherine Mary Stewart, and her sister, played by Kelly Mulroney, discover they're two of the lucky few. But scientists are after them, and now they must run. Why? Because the researchers believe they need the blood of survivors to concoct a drug that can save them all from further ruin.
All right, don't get too excited, because then he sent me some goofs. It's blooper time, everybody. Put on your Fletcher shoes and dance. Here it is. This is fantastic.
Night of the Comet. Night of the Comet.
Well, where is it? There we go. Right there. And the thing and the whatnot.
Night of the Comet.
There we go. Night of the Comet.
Earth has been ripped to Kelly Mulroney.
What? No. What?
Reg.
Rhymes with veg. Veg.
Why? Why?
That's good stuff.
Let's play a game. Night of the Comet.
Night of the Comet.
Night of the Comet.
Yes.
All right, so...
Wow.
That was fantastic. That was maybe the best good. Ever.
It reminds you, it takes him a while to get these out, you know? Like, it's not just him whipping it out, send me the file. He's actually got to work at it, you know, do a little edit here and there. Hats off to Scott Fletcher. All right, so he described it pretty well.
No, he didn't.
He kind of did. I mean,
he described was a movie I'd actually like to see.
Well, it is, but see, and that's why I think I liked it, because the core of it, the idea is a pretty good one. It's not terrible. You know, there's a little bit of I Am Legend in there. It's
right.
Got just a taste
Mega
of that.
Mega Man, a little bit of that.
Right. Omega Man.
Yeah, Omega Man, rather. Not Mega Man.
Omega Man.
Rocket Man.
The little blue guy.
Attacks. Yeah, there's a little Elton John in there.
Yeah, a little bit of little
and there's a pepper. There's a whole lot of nonsense. It's a really nonsensical film.
Maybe part of it was that I remember her from being the girlfriend in The Last Starfighter.
Right.
And she was kind of hot in that.
She was kind of hot in this, too.
Yeah, she's all right. By the way, new award for leading lady who holds up the best
In
her later age. She looks great.
Absolutely fantastic.
I'm going to just go out on this limb here and say she looks better now than I think she did then, you know, barring hairstyles and things like that.
She's like in her 60s or something, right?
She is, but she looks great, and she doesn't look all like plastic and stuff. We're talking about
Catherine Mary Stewart for the uninformed.
Oh, yes, not Kelly Mulroney, by the way.
Oh, so she, you know what? She looks good for, you know.
For what she started with?
Oh, no.
Oh, you didn't. Even that was horrible.
I object to the bald man's assertion that woman looks good now.
She looks all right. I mean, she looks, for her age, she looks all right.
Wow, all right. You're backtracking a lot.
She's only
53, Catherine.
You're losing me here.
You know what? You need to click on her. So when you click on her thing, the photo that's there is fine. It's the first photo below her that you click on, and she looks like somebody's pissed off principal about ready to eat your face.
Right.
Gross. Anyway. But she's fine in this, whatever. It's not the actors. Oh, yeah, Chakotay. What's his name? Robert Beltran.
Yeah, he's the kind of actor that you realize after you see a movie like this that you've seen the full range of him. Like
you can do a bad hick.
Good job, Robert.
For 2 seconds, I thought just for 2 seconds it was Poncherelli. I wasn't sure. But
I just walked in. I did the same thing. I'm like,
but at the same time as you realize he's got zero range because you've seen 170 episodes of Voyager, and now suddenly you're seeing same guy exactly.
Yeah.
You like him. He's so likable.
Yeah, he's a likable guy. But you're right about the one hit sort of acting skill. Like even his hick impression that he did toward the end to get those guys out of the place, it reminded me of something he might do on the holodeck when they're goofing around and role-playing.
That's exactly where I couldn't get out of that mode the whole time. It's just my opening was like that. Like every time I would see him, he would just make me think this is an episode of Voyager and they're on some weird holodeck program.
Yeah.
And I just don't know. It's just, they could easily.
Commander Chakotay, come to the bridge, Commander Chakotay.
In program.
That'd have been great. They could have done that in the middle of the stupid others scene. That would
I wonder if I could edit that for us. Edit kind of have him going into a holodeck at the beginning of the movie and then kind of have him leaving afterwards.
Yeah. Directed by Tom Eberhardt, right? Yeah.
Eberhardt,
born in 1947. Still alive. Has done
Good
some
job.
Stuff recently. Just directed, Diagnosis Dead or Alive. It's
Have you seen his IMDb picture, by the way?
He's got this
look on his face like, I don't know. It's like,
right.
Like it's the whole time he's doing the movie, just going, do it again.
Yeah. But none of this stuff, like, listen to these movies, TV movies, Rats, Once Upon a Time, I Was a Teenage Faust, Space Rangers, Captain
Night
Ron.
Of the Comet. You act like he's really changed.
Well, he did.
Captain Ron is the only one of these that I've actually seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about...
isn't Gross Anatomy a big deal?
He did the pilot for Parker Lewis Can't Lose, which was a great show, and the pilot was exceptional.
Oh, yeah, Gross Anatomy with Matthew Modine. I remember that.
Oh, you know what? I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, not a huge, deal. But that guy does have a great IMDb photo.
Oh, yeah, and Daphne Zuniga.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I had a bad case of that in high school.
From Spaceballs.
Should have that checked out.
Who else is of noteworthy in this that we know? Like John Acorn or Achorn or whatever. He's been in a million things. Is it Acorn? I don't know how to say it.
Johnny Acorn.
Peter Fox. I've seen that guy before.
Right. And we talked about Jeff Lewis, right?
Jeffrey Lewis, he's cool. I like him too. But let's see. Who is this? There's another guy in here. Now I can't find him. The guy that played Al. Al, movie theater
guy.
Mack and Siggy and right.
Yeah, where is he in here?
He's the second page. You have to go to the next page. But
He's second
page. He's second page material, yeah.
Yeah, he was trying to hawk those $9
Dealey bobbers.
Yeah. Dealey bobbers. I was like, just buy them for Pete's sakes.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to see I'm sorry, I have to back this up and say the best IMDb photo in here is quite easily Bobby Porter, who played Monster Kid.
Monster Kid.
Look at that guy.
He is my favorite. Wearing his Malcolm in the Middle shirt in that main photo. Is fantastic. He does all these
photo.
Weird.
Yeah, look at all these
weird
guy,
things.
Malcolm in the Middle photo. What was? Who did he play in that?
Who was he really? Was he really like the? He plays some of these parts.
He's on The Office. He was a stunt coordinator. He's all stunt coordinator.
So he's when Malcolm needs to fall down the stairs. This is who you call.
He looks like it. I can see it.
He was on iCarly. He was in the Weird Science TV series, which I never saw. He's on Roseanne.
And in the movie, he was
for a softcore porn film called Sexual Life. Now, this, if you require a stunt coordinator for that film, I need to see it.
All right. Monster Kid. Man. Congratulations. Yeah, good work on that. What else? The production designer, John Muto, used what he describes as a comic book sensibility for the film. Characters were given specific colors, with the bad guys in blues and grays and the girls in colors. Regina's colors were deeper than Sam's to reflect that Regina was more intellectual than Sam and that Sam was wackier than Regina. For example, Sam's cheerleading outfit is made in magenta and turquoise and is made to really stand out and falls off real easy while she's in the bathroom in her second room. The original working title of the film was Teenage Mutant Horror Comet Zombies.
Right.
According to this, that was true.
And she actually says it in the radio station, according to the trivia. Too.
Right.
She says,
She's saying, I remember reading this before and then hearing that and went, oh, maybe they just named it after, for a minute I thought,
I wish they had it because then you could have been that point in the movie where you went, oh, that's the title of the movie.
Oh, speaking of which, A Dream Within a Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Within a dream. Inception time.
Yeah. Love those. I don't like them in the 80s did this a lot where it was, I don't know, I'm trying to think of another example. Who's the guy that peeled his face off in Poltergeist?
Oh.
Wasn't that a dream? He saw yeah, worms, maggots in the meat, and then tore his face off.
He starts pulling his face off, and then he wakes up, and then I think it's another dream.
Yeah. Or maybe the face-off part was the second half, or I don't
face
know.
Face off.
I could eat a peach for hours.
I hate dream sequences.
Yes, you do. But yeah. How about these dreams within a dream? Forgetting Inception, which is a brilliant film, and turns that all on its head, in my opinion. What is it that is so bad about faking us out with two dreams? First you got zombie
accomplish nothing in the narrative. They're absolutely not. It's like when you have a coworker who tells you about their dreams every day. Once in a great while, okay, that's interesting. telling me every day, you're just wasting my time. And in a movie, you're absolutely wasting my time. No one ever dreams up something valuable to the plot.
Right.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's times where they dream something that's going to be foreshadowed by something else, or they dream something that's relevant. Sometimes the dream sequence is foreshadowing.
Right,
horror movies love this crap, and they just
anything we want for 5 minutes.
Right. We're gonna kill all the main characters and have you, put all the audience on their head and then pull them back.
I also remember in the movie thinking that there was more when I'd seen this before. There was more of a scene when the comet actually came. It wasn't just people staring into the sky and wondering what was going on. Like there was actually some special effect or something.
Right. The only thing we get is the obligatory look girl who stands in the crowd and goes, look.
Yeah. And then it just sort of pans over them. And then I guess they're dead. And they all died to the soothing sounds of movie sacks. That was great.
The movie's called Night of the Comet. It's the worst title ever because the actual Night of the Comet, as depicted in the film, is about 30 seconds long.
Yeah.
And it should have been called The Days and Nights After the Comet.
The Day After the Comet.
It
should have been The Day After I Got All the High Scores on Tempest.
I kept accidentally calling it Night of the Living Comet.
Night of the Living Comet. That's all right.
Night of the Living Comet. I keep doing it. Night of the Living Comet. That's not it.
Can I go ahead and expose the big Snappy scientific elephant in the room?
We need a sound for that. Hold on. Scientific elephant in the room. That's good as I got.
That's it, actually. That's exactly it.
All right.
A comet passing by Earth wouldn't wrap around it and kill everything all around the globe.
The idea is that the Earth passes through the comet's tail, right?
Right.
But how much would it take, even if for a tiny toast of this dust to affect everybody? How much would it take?
Well, some of them are zombies, and why? Okay, so my understanding is the reason the homeless zombie guy in the alleyway was the reason he got zombified is because he was in a dumpster and was like maybe partially shielded.
Everyone who was inside a steel room survived.
Correct. Right. But how about the zombie people? Where'd they end up? Because most people dusted.
They're partially, like you say, partially in
the trash can. The trash can lid might have been open, or the top was plastic or something. That we're just trying to stick with their movie rules, which they actually did pretty good. They stuck by their own movie rules. The only thing that didn't make any sense to me, though, was if this was the comet that wiped out the dinosaurs and the dinosaurs experienced something similar, why didn't we find dinosaur clothes everywhere?
So it kind of
failed there for me.
Sure. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I will never be able to not think about it that way.
Very good point.
Ever again. It's great. It's an idea that is great, you guys. It's just dressed in poop. It's not well done. The music is hideous.
You think music is hideous?
Soundtrack. Like both. Material Girl is not even the Madonna original.
Yeah.
It's some
material girl. You're talking about Girls Just Want to Have
Fun. Sorry.
You picked that because I was thinking what would be perfect here would be Material Girl, and they picked Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
You're right. I messed up. But that wasn't What's Her Name either, though. That
Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, it was some poopy cover.
Yeah, right. Well, Cyndi Lauper's is a cover also.
Right.
I knew you were going to go there.
Other songs might have been good for there instead, because that was the big song. I mean, that was the big.
That was the only one they actually had to pay some licensing money for.
The rest of the music was so throwaway, guys. That wasn't none of that was any good. It was like
the little amount of scoring in the film was awful.
Yeah, Just kind of weird, lots of synthy well, turd.
Yeah, and the music when Zombie Kid is chasing Chakotay is comical. Like it's like it's happy music. It's like they're watching a different film.
Well, and he's cracking wise like there goes the neighborhood and throws something out the window and.
God,
it was that's oh my gosh. See, when I was a kid, I thought all that stuff played just fine, and it.
That's what was hilarious when he opened the door. The zombie's out there. He just slams the door shut. The zombie's face kind of backs away. Goes no way.
Yeah, that was weird.
I love it.
What else? I thought. Oh, I mentioned. I already said what's her name is still hot. You'd think she'd be a little more freaked out when she walked outside. This was a big hole for me, and I even remember this from the beginning. So when it first starts to dawn on her that the world has changed somehow overnight while she's making out with that douche in the film room, she comes out and doesn't seem at all freaked out about the fact that the sky is red.
Yeah,
there are clothes and dirt everywhere, dust everywhere from people.
Right. There's vomit.
There's an awesome trope, by the way, about the sky.
The sky.
It's so inconsistently red. Like,
yeah, they had trouble with that.
Yeah, they were just using some filter.
Practical effects, yeah.
And it's so inconsistent because they show you the sky, they show you dark red wine-colored sky against when you don't have a person in the shot. But then when there's people in the shot, you know, your actors want to look like people. So the sky is suddenly kind of normal. It's all good.
It's like sunset in L.A. is what it looked like when people were in it.
It really did, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what they did.
And the so are we supposed to believe that it was, you know, the air was just thick with people dust? So you're going outside. I'm breathing people.
But then it takes them that long to then go to her friend's house. Bodies and cars littered everywhere.
Right.
Go or not her friend, her sister's house. Right. Which I couldn't figure out that whole
thing.
And this is
L.A., so, okay, I can understand the people all turning to dust. There'd be a crap ton more vehicles just parked on the road, parked on the street, parked all over the place. It's like...
there would be a traffic jam.
It dawns on her way too slowly, too slowly. And that was just too much for me to... I really never could quite get past that because she's supposed to be strong and smart and independent. And it turns out she's dumb and dumb and dumb.
You know, I must be dumb too because I never thought about the cars.
Really?
Honestly, did not think about the cars.
Who swept up all the cars?
That's true. The cars.
The second comet that followed it. They just did the same thing, only the metal.
Right. Car dissolving dust.
I just assumed all the teenagers had grabbed a bunch of them because that one kid said he had 23, so I figured he was just parking them somewhere in a big.
That guy was a mine. Douche. That guy was a douche. For 2 seconds, though, I thought I was Tom Paris again. From Masters of the Universe. And I thought, oh my gosh, Tom Paris and Chakotay in the same movie. Somebody kill me now.
Crazy.
Yeah, that would have been weird. Let's see. What else? So real quick. I think I'd forgotten about all the people in the bunker because it was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And that brought up an interesting thought in my head. Are there other movies where you were surprised at how much of the stuff you blocked out and had an elevated sense that the movie was better than it was and whole pieces of it were just removed from your mind? Can anyone point to anything like that? This is the first for me.
I feel like we had something else on Film Sack, but I can't remember what it was. We've talked about it.
Generally, it's movies that are sci-fi based, and there's generally something big that's impactful as a child. Like seeing all the people disappear and turn to dust. We've talked about this before. Even on Star Trek, it freaks me out when people are disintegrated down to dust. It's just weird.
I don't like that.
Yeah. And so... I mean, I don't remember anything else because all I can remember is that part, and it just consumes the rest of the movie because really we don't see the crazy people, the Dharma Initiative people that much.
Did it freak you out when you saw the Adam West Batman movie we watched and the whole UN was like down to the dust? I remember you commenting on that before. Yeah.
Yes, I do not know that weirds me out, but it freaks me out.
I love that. That's like a cool phobia. I like that one.
Man, if you get disintegrated down to dust, you're on your own, buddy. I'm out.
You're not interested in that.
I'm not interested.
There's something in my head says there's a whole bunch of movies like that, but I can't pull any out of my head. But for me, it's like Masters of the Universe had a bit of this. I don't remember the Courtney Cox stuff at all. Like, just don't remember any of that. Yeah. I don't remember Earth. See, and that seems weird because it's mostly on Earth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember the Skeletor bits, and then when we saw that extra stuff, I'm like, really?
Usually, when you don't remember somebody like Courtney Cox or somebody, it's usually because they haven't done anything significant up to that point in their career, and you probably saw it prior to that point. I mean, this was prior to Friends and her real big coming of age. And
I think it was prior to her video appearance in that Springsteen video.
Right, right.
So I was like, in the dark,
yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
So you just kind of file that in your brain as
she could look like this in this movie.
I don't
it was
like,
kind of cute.
Just a real note, just a side note, I do not like Dancing in the Dark.
Really?
Yep. One of my least favorite songs ever made.
This was my first viewing of this film and my last.
Oh, and, really? You're done with it? Come on.
I totally would have forgotten because I just think it's so ludicrous. The scene where hours after you learn that practically everyone you've ever been connected to is dead and gone, you go dance around a freaking department store.
Yep.
That shopping montage.
Yeah, that's bad.
I would do that in a minute.
No, you wouldn't.
Everybody was gone. I'd be like dancing.
There's two things going on here. One is your very immediate struggle for survival. And the other is,
I ain't worried about survival. I got McDonald's in every street with some under some heat lamps. You know what I'm saying?
Where are you going to get the electricity? Survival's the
electricity was running.
Electricity?
I know. That's what I'm talking about. This is bullshit.
The phone was even running. I think cable was even.
This is like day one. I mean, maybe day 10, I'd be kind of getting depressed. But day one, I'm celebrating. I'm like, yeah, I ain't got no responsibility. I ain't got no job. Everything is mine.
Yeah,
woo.
But those guys that showed up in the place, with the exception of the crony guys that were with him, but that main guy, pretty creepy guy. I thought that worked still.
So here's his game plan. Oh, everybody outside is dead. All right, let me grab three of my stock boy friends. We're going to rule this department store. That's our plan.
But wait a minute. Weren't those guys partial zombies?
Yeah, they were. They had the eyes and stuff.
So they're my big complaint. My big, huge complaint of the film.
All right.
I'm willing to allow that the typical zombie creation story, right?
Some I want room service.
That's a big complaint.
But these people weren't strictly zombies.
Yeah.
No, they weren't.
They were just ill. They were made ill and they were going to die.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they were deteriorating human beings who were deteriorating to zombies.
Why did they all uniformly become evil? That makes no sense.
Well, if part of the downward spiral is that you start with putting your shades on, because at first Jeffrey Lewis seemed like he kind of had his head on straight, and then as time went on, he slowly got more and more like irritated with people and kind of started losing his mind. And by the time he got out into the Jeep and turned the key, he was like, "Brr." So I think that's just the descent. Like they were all mid-descent. So the guy in the shopping cart is like, "Attention shoppers!" You know, just like a whole jokey man was just his early signs of I'm going to go crazy now and give me another 3 hours and I'll be full zombie and eating people. I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. But okay. I'm actually going to give this movie some credit for something that I don't know if it truly deserves, but I think
this is
true.
I'm guessing it doesn't.
I think this is true because it's specific to me. You guys know how much I love a post-apocalyptic tale of any sort, and I also think by extension the reason I love westerns is they are apocalyptic in nature. They're dusty town with no end. They're isolated and huge, and it's a huge desert full of danger. And there's something about that I think came from my initial love of post-apocalyptic storytelling, and I have to admit I think my first taste of it might have been this movie, and I think it may have been the thing that set me off to the point that anytime anything like this came out, I was ready to consume it whole hog. Right. And so it may not hold up and it may be poo now, but Night of the Comet might actually be that movie that you know, like Star Wars did for so many people, or Indiana Jones did for so many people, that thing that puts you on the track of a genre you were unaware of and just so like settled in your head that you could never shake it and you were into it every time something would happen. So Walking Freaking Dead and every other zombie movie and Book of Eli and Road Warrior movies and all that stuff, I feel like my first taste might have been Night of the Comet. For good or for ill, that might have been it.
I could totally see that. And I remember when I first saw this movie years ago, I thought it was pretty bad. And then this most recent viewing, I actually had a little bit of change of heart and said, you know what? As much as you want to complain, they've had some really original ideas on how to film some of these scenes. They've had some really original ideas on how they're building the characters and some I thought some really good ideas and some really good implementations of stuff that they could have dropped the ball on. But, you know, they set rules up and they stuck with them.
But the movie still really sucks. It still kind of sucks. You know, like, I don't want to. You're not wrong.
Wait until Scott plays the clips.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, because there's moments of brilliance when the two daughters are talking and the youngest one is talking about how the death and they finally go ahead.
The two sister survivors happen to both be martial arts and weapons experts.
Because their dad was a Green Beret, taught them all the stuff. They tried to explain that. But the point is, which is really cool because I like that. I'm like, I love having an action star like that in this kind of a movie. And she just totally kicked A and she didn't have to apologize for anything. And she wasn't a big wussy running away from everything. So I love that heroine attitude of that.
Yeah.
But there is some points when there's acting that they actually get into some deep stuff. They talk about, you know, people who passed away too soon or it was good they actually passed away because they were having a really hard time in life. And when they started exploring that into the characters, I was kind of impressed a little bit. Just a little bit.
Okay. I don't think like you said, I think everyone's said to some degree, now, there's decent ideas here.
Right. As a whole, it sucks.
That's where I'm at.
As a whole, it sucks, but yeah.
Ebbett, you and I were talking earlier this morning about how it just, like, this is one of those examples of a movie we all thought was going to be good and it just didn't do it.
Yeah, and you even brought up, you know, saying, and I'd like to revisit this because you touched upon it earlier, but that it's ripe for a remake. Yeah. And I don't know if I necessarily agree. The Comet aspect, well, okay. If you're going to remake this movie, there's a lot of holes that need to be plugged.
Yeah.
And it requires like a lot of changes to the plot, not just changes to the writing or the acting or anything like that. I actually think you could remake this movie and keep it in the 80s, you know, kind of like there's a movie with that 70s show kid, Topher Grace, called Take Me Home Tonight.
Yes, that's an awesome movie.
And it keeps the whole film in that 80s vibe.
Right.
But that doesn't make it campy or cheesy.
Yeah.
But this could be one where you do that, where you actually cross the line and make it a, not necessarily a parody, but like a Sky Captain style thing, but with 80s zombie.
J.J. Abrams may have tried to make this with Super 8 a bit. There's a feeling in this. His movie is set, you know, what, 79 or whatever it is, 80, 81, I don't remember now. And they kept the look and the time and the feel. And they didn't get too cheeky about it. They weren't constantly making jokes about, look at us, we're in the 80s. But they still put off that smell of the 80s, and it felt that way, and that was good. I could see that.
I say you go over the top with it, though, for something like this. You make it an over the top, almost a parody of these type of films from the 80s.
I want so bad for...
I think you need a group of younger kids. I think in today, if you were to make it, I think you need a group of kids who are like 12, 13 instead of being almost graduating from high school.
Or 20-something playing like you're graduating from high school.
Oh, I hate that. Yeah, please don't.
I really do hate that. I call it glee disease is what that's called.
Right. The younger, the better. The more outrageous kids getting to do things that they can't do when parents are here. Because basically, what they basically did was they destroyed all the parents. And, you know, a 17, 18-year-old in this day and age can pretty much do whatever. But someone who's a little bit younger might be a little bit more exciting in that 14-year-old crowd.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that one of the problems of the movie for me was, and do you guys agree with this, that there should have been way more people that were shielded that weren't zombies? Like, how there got to be a ton of people in certain kinds of buildings and high-rises that are completely shielded from that stupid thing. So... Why is it her, Chakotay, the kid from freaking the Tim Allen TV show? They look like him anyway. And the little Asian girl. How are they the only survivors in this freaking world?
That is how zombie movies work. They play this crazy numbers game where 99.999999% of people are killed. You just noticed it because it's set in one of the biggest cities on the planet.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have noticed it if it was a Cabin in the Woods movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I'm glad they didn't.
I kind of liked LA for the, you know, for the post-apocalyptic landscape. It just, another little thing that makes absolutely no sense is that these scientists would hop freaking to. They've got their research on this whole thing going within minutes. They're not going to figure out what happened. They're going to figure out what to do next right now. They're not driving some car out in the countryside to see if grandma made it. No. We're right day one. We're on the ground getting this thing fixed.
Yeah.
Right.
That is not inaccurate. All right. Well, it's the ending shit. nice. You know, and the ending that really bothered me was, first of all, I don't like jokey endings that are about movies that should have a more serious tone to them. But I didn't like the implication that if you are really okay, let's say all the zombies have eaten each other and died out. Okay, let's say that's your idea, because that's always the impression I had, is the bad guys die that way. Maybe there are some other survivors, like Blondie went off with what's his dork, Tempest level, number six on the leaderboards, dude.
Right.
And by the way, that being him is just such a stupid joke. But my bigger problem is it implies that Chakotay and what's her name are now going to, you know, procreate, and they're going to help replenish this planet. But so are Tim Taylor's son and the Asian girl,
right,
who aren't, you know, obviously blood relatives, so they kind of skirted around that a little bit, and we're going to have an Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel kind of thing going on. And that
I always hate when they bring that up in repopulation movies anyway, because you start doing the math, you start going, okay, if that person, you know, procreated with that person, this person, and then the younger kid could do it with the older lady, and the older lady, how long can she have babies? And then you start getting into weird, and it's like, I can't focus on the movie anymore because I'm trying to think about.
I know. That's where my head was at.
Can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
Let's just say that you were the last man on Earth. Right. Okay, first of all, let's say Scott Johnson's the last man on Earth.
Sweet.
We're screwed.
Right? Yeah, I know. But okay.
Hopefully the last woman on Earth doesn't look like his mom.
That's right.
Right.
Oh, man.
I get
Charlize Theron, but anyway.
I get that you need to make some more boys. Like, I get that. Like, that's a pretty important directive, like biological directive. But what's the rush? Why are people in these movies always in such a hurry? They're like, again, day one, these girls are talking about, well, I don't know. I think he doesn't want to inseminate you. I mean, they didn't say that, but it's like, right, that's what the conversation boils down to. Maybe he doesn't want
to. No, he wanted to get with him. Isn't that what they kept saying?
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about procreation
making
here.
It sorry we were making it no we were we didn't make it last night making it shut up everybody like, with the right. making it
like oh, yeah. If the biblical story of Adam and Eve were the real deal, Adam and Eve clearly didn't have that drive,
right?
They had a couple of kids, they're done. Yeah, you know, right. Like what's the rush?
Well, there you're right, there is none. And those kids are gonna, Tim Taylor's son's gonna grow up soon enough, get all horny one day and go, you're Asian. Huh. You're not my real sister. Come on.
Yeah, I know. Let's do this thing.
Let's go. I have a thing for Asians. Ew, mom. I'm not your mom.
Right.
He and I did it last night. Like, that's, it starts to get to just this, the typical family structure completely falls apart.
Right.
Because suddenly everybody's got primal needs to procreate.
Like, right. But I just wanted one of the, I forget which one was, like one of the, I don't know, maybe he's gay. And I wanted the other one to say, I don't know if I really want to sleep with him. Can we like slow down and consider that there are other cities in the world that might have people that survive that I would want to have babies with?
Yeah, that's true. Like the guy in the car that has a bunch of cars. He looked all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay.
Sure.
Yeah, he was a douche. Oh, I always thought it was weird that when the rain started washing all the people dust away, that seems like a nice thing. Like,
right,
we're meant to think, oh, finally.
Well, it cleared all the red crap out of the air, too.
Well, right, but there's some of the red crap is people, and, you know, like, it just seemed like a real sad state that everybody, women, children, old people, young people, everybody who was outside is just flushed down the drain.
I was hoping they would all reconstitute right there and go, what the?
Well, how about like a big, like, oh, I see, like the, you just needed to add water and they
right.
would be what people the again. That would be great. They'd be all naked. What's going on?
What's going on here?
I thought you meant like a big
1966 Adam West Batman.
Yeah.
Right.
Batam West.
Batam West.
Batam Man.
All right, let's do clips because they're patiently looking at me here and they want to be played. Here is the opening narration to the film.
Since before recorded time, it had swung through the universe in an elliptical orbit so large that its very existence remained a secret of time and space. But now, in the last few years of the 20th century, the visitor was returning.
My elliptical orbit is too large.
It's so cheesy, dude.
Yeah,
it's so cheesy.
Don't remember, and I'm a fan of opening narrations, so I know it can be done right. That's not done right. It's done badly.
I know. Words like swung through the universe, elliptical orbit so large. I mean,
the visitor.
The visitor. These are weird, weird.
Well, when he said that, I thought, was there an alien thing in this, and I don't remember it? Because that's what the bunker people were talking about.
Sure.
And there's even like a pause at the end. It's like, indeed, not since the time that the dinosaurs disappeared, comma, virtually overnight.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, oh, you've let some of so much light has been shed on that moment suddenly.
Right.
By Night of the Comet. All right, here she is playing Tempest.
Regina, I want you to clean everything up so we can get out of here in time to watch the comet.
Everything's cleaned up. Damn!
Damn.
At least they used the real sounds from the video game, and they used the real death sound. Because how many times have you heard video games in a movie where it's like, it's either the Pac-Man Atari, because that's the only thing they could get licensed.
Right.
Or well, usually if it's something else, it'll be like, you know, Rib Jimmy, something dumb name that isn't even exactly true. Right. And then when they die, it's the Pac-Man death sound.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things I liked about this movie. I felt like it was honest. I feel like they didn't try to cheat us on some of those things.
Some of those things were all right, but I think that was more prominent back then because you could, like, nobody at Namco was sitting around going, "Man, I wonder how we could squeeze some money out of these movie deals." Right. I think they were just happy to have Tempest. Well, in this case, Atari, but they were just happy to have Tempest shown. Right. You know, Nolan Bushnell's got it going. You know, the future of product placement tells me that I need to screw these guys. I think they just were happy to have their stuff in there, and nobody got sued. And yeah. That's what I think about Tempest. Take the light and walk the house. What? Oh,
yeah.
This is Al again.
Yeah. I want you to take this flashlight and walk the house.
Aw, Mel, they throw things at me.
Who cares?
What a dick. Don't work for that guy.
Right.
He's the worst.
They're going to throw juju beads at me and...
What are they called? Juju what?
Milk juju milk
beads.
Duds.
Oh, I thought you called them juju beads. Beads.
Juju beads.
Like anal beads.
Juju!
I could tell you guys a funny story about Cards Against Humanity, but I will not tell you about it. It's inappropriate for this venue. This is really annoying.
This is really annoying.
I think her saying that.
This is really annoying.
Is really annoying.
Right.
Really all right.
Annoying.
Douche in the film booth.
I'm talking about a mint condition print of It Came from Outer Space. In 3D, man. Yeah, right. Trace Dimensiones.
Ah! Trace Dimensiones. Mm-hmm. You guys, that's the stupidest thing to say.
Right. I did not even catch that until just now.
Trace Dimensiones.
Yep.
That makes me want to grind up Larry and put him in the food.
Right. And, you know, I think the thing that took me out of the movie for just a second there, too, is I was like, well, where are they going to get the 3D glasses from? He's going to take the print. Does he have a 3D projector? Does he have 3D glasses?
See, they're not being honest, Brian. Your honesty thing's starting to fall apart.
I know.
Trace Dimensiones. Come on. I hate white people that do Spanish. I really do.
I will say this, though. As far as dates go, camping in the projector room, pretty cool. Eating popcorn.
Sure.
I wouldn't mind doing that.
With a hot girl? Yeah.
Hot girl?
With a hot lady and steel to protect you from zombie rays? Yeah.
Right.
Nothing. Yeah. No sound more romantic than...
Yeah, right.
And then when it's over and you don't want to get up... Yeah. That's
I thought that was the movie. That's you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well done. Let's see. Newfoundland.
The first Earthlings to see the effects will be in Newfoundland or Newfoundland.
What was that scene
I don't
about?
Know, dude.
Yeah, we're making a joke about how you say that, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Because we're Americans. We don't know how to say stuff. We're dumb.
Everybody in that whole scene was weird, and the reporter was weird. Yeah. And really, honestly, everybody who died, their characters were so shallow. I don't know if it was intentional, but it almost seemed hysterical how shallow they were.
They were like adults in a John Hughes film.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty good. A whole group of them. That's good.
But I kind of liked it because, you know what? We didn't have any attachment, which is one thing you always try to do. You try to make people get attached to characters so that when they die, you have feeling emotions for them. And they did just the opposite here. You had absolutely no care if everybody got wiped off the face of the earth because you just didn't care about them.
No, I didn't care about anybody in this movie.
Yeah. And
I hardly even cared about the key characters. And by the end, when they're all dressed up for no reason.
Right.
I just was like, I don't. Right now, I really don't care about you guys.
Let's try on everything in the store.
Yeah.
I was actually a little bit sad that this movie got me worked up, you know, strongly disliking Oscar. And then I got to more and more. I wanted him to die. And then I'm like, oh, here's a chance for him to die. And he died. I'm like, oh, wow. I don't get to spend the whole movie hoping that he's going to die now. I think now there's another 45 minutes.
Yeah, and his death was just so okay.
Quick.
There you go, he's dead.
Matter of fact, yeah.
He was on the ground. I mean, it was like immediate. Like 1 second we see him standing, then he's on the ground.
Yep.
So remember that, folks, when you're making a bad movie. If you're going to give me anything to care about, don't take it away from me so soon.
Exactly.
Born with an a-hole.
You were born with an asshole, Doris. You don't need Chuck.
Okay, I sped up the smacking.
I love that. Punch, punch. No,
It was way slower. She went smack. She thought about it for a minute, smacked her back, and then she got pissed and punched her and knocked her into the TV. But I decided to speed it
you
up right to this.
You were born, Doris. You don't need Chuck.
I love her sped up version. That's
like
awesome.
A little slap fight.
Stooges here.
I had to. All right. Here she is taking on the zombie dude in the parking lot.
Come here.
Come here, your ass.
Come here, your ass.
We don't use that anymore.
Stupid ass hair.
Yeah.
But nobody ever used that. No, nobody ever said anything, your ass. That's this is not a comeback.
Know.
I mean, I realize she's under stress, so I understand that she's going to make a crappy comeback.
Well, you guys know what we have to do when anytime the A and the S and the S are used, we have to play this real quick.
Stupid ass hair!
You're no longer needed here, asshole.
What'd you do to my dog, you asshole?
Say goodnight, asshole.
Goodnight, asshole.
Slurp my butt.
There you go. There's the string.
Nice. So we add this to it now?
Tacked onto the end?
Yep, I'm putting that one in there. That's one we gotta keep.
Nice.
Let's see. Actually, let me drag that in now so I don't forget. Where are we now? Let's take a look here. Oh, how about my mom asks this every Saturday morning?
It's Saturday morning. Where are the goddamn kids?
Every morning, my mom would go.
Right?
My mom would yell, where? And we'd say, Mom, just G.I. Joe in front of the TV. It's all fine. Everything's good. Yeah.
So this is the scene where one of the girls has been dealing with the obvious reality of the situation and the other one has no idea.
Yeah.
And her way of convincing her sister?
Sister.
I don't
sister.
Who cares?
Yeah, they were sisters.
Her way of convincing
who
her
cares?
Sister. Her way of convincing her sister is to berate her.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to help anything.
It did feel like one of those things where she just spent 10 minutes quizzing her to see if she'd get it.
Yeah.
Not just come out right out and say, I think everyone's dead. I think this dust is people. No, she had to go, what do you think this is?
Yeah.
Look at this piece of thing.
What's wrong with you? Do you have your glasses on?
Where are all the kids?
Right. Well, if you've ever had a discussion with a little brother or sister, you know this is how it goes. You can't just come up and tell your brother or sister everybody's dead. They go, whatever.
But then
like,
when
no,
it dawns on her, and she just shuts the door and walks away. Like, all right, whatever.
You stop trying to punk me. I'm out.
Going
to eat my Raisin Bran. Who eats Raisin Bran on a Saturday morning? At 14.
Nobody.
Come on.
Where is the goddamn milk?
Right. It's next to the boom box.
The sky is red. Do you get it yet?
Except in this shot. I'm sorry, the sky's not red in this shot. Oh, wait, we're looking at the sky in another shot. It's red again.
It's red again. Oh, that filter. Let's see. An ongoing effort on my part to capture anytime somebody mentions a fake number in a movie continues to this day. Here's your fake number with a 555 in it.
555-4487.
555-4487. I tried to call I called it in an LA area code and I was going to record what happened and it was just a This number you have called is not true. El Español está el farto, and they said it in.
Would it be too difficult for somebody to put a recording on all 555 numbers that says, you got this number from a movie or TV show? They're fake numbers, you moron. Quick.
Yeah. Now, 555-1212 is actually a number.
Shut up, is it?
Try it. Yeah, try it.
Let's do it right now, live on the show.
Time and temperature or something, isn't it?
It's information.
We're going to do it right now on the air. Let's see, how do I do this? Can I? Is it just any area code or what?
Area code 555-1212.
555-1212. Okay.
It's reserved. Excuse me, the 555s are reserved.
Oh, well, let me dial it and add it.
They had much bigger plans.
Let's see. Well, let me. Yeah, well, let me do it. That sucks because I want to do it right now live and I can't.
So is this, can we play off the voice in that last clip and finally get around to talking about Valley Girls?
Yes. Here's just a reminder.
555.
Okay, go ahead. What about her?
This is the earliest Valley Girl movie that I can think of.
Right.
When was Valley Girl?
No, Valley Girl was before this.
Oh, well, no. I don't know the movie Valley Girl.
What?
But okay, what's the movie Valley Girl?
Valley Girl, tell us all about
it. Nicolas Cage, first.
That explains right there why I don't know that
Deborah,
movie.
Deborah Foreman from Welcome to the Waxwork movie. She was in Waxworks, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it streaming? It sounds like something we should watch.
It does, doesn't it? That was 83. This Comet thing was 84. So we're right around the same zone here.
Wow. 84, best movie year ever, and we got Night of the Comet.
Would you remember her name?
It's like saying Terminator 2 is the first Terminator movie I ever heard of.
If you look at Film Sack history, our favorite movie year is 85.
The Empire Strikes Back is the first Star Wars movie that ever happened.
Yeah.
I like that. That's
good. So anyway, Valley Girls. What the hell is a Valley Girl? I mean, it's obviously referring to girls from the San Fernando Valley, but
right.
But what are they? What constitutes a Valley Girl?
Isn't it the whole gag me with a spoon and all that?
Right. Vapid, clueless.
Going to the gallery.
Yeah.
Having that accent.
Okay, but doesn't Clueless kind of turn it on its head?
A little bit.
Like this, like that, like, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Lots of legs, yeah. And some people are, I remember the real thick, like the Moon Zappa period.
Right, Well, that was with the whole song. I think that was the first I'd heard of Valley Girls was that song.
Yeah, and it was like, gag me with a spoon.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it just.
Yeah. Like totally.
Yeah, they don't have that song, do you?
I do, yes.
You know what? Play just a piece, just a little bit, so people can, because this is good education for those not familiar with the Valley Girl phenomenon. And there are definitely younger listeners listening to this who have no idea.
What?
Do you have it? Do you have it?
Yeah, I thought I had it.
Oh,
a bunch of Zappa.
Oh.
Are you kidding? I have all this Frank Zappa and.
Somebody Zappa your Zappa, man.
I'm kidding. Oh, so I'm really sorry.
That's all right. What are you going to do?
Oh.
All right. Go ahead.
Just was thinking about this. I was thinking about Clueless, and I was thinking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and Legally Blonde also
Romy
turns.
And Michelle.
There you go. Best example of a performance attempt to completely crystallize the Valley Girl concept is Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion.
So it seems like it's more of a, it's an ongoing thing. It isn't like Valley Girls stopped or ended. Or didn't, you know, quit being a phenomenon. You're still, you live in the Valley. You got too much money. Your dad pays for everything. You're stupid and clueless and dumb. And you say stupid stuff. I mean, is that a Valley Girl? Is that it?
I think that's pretty much the stereotype of that. And I was concerned when I read the description of it because I didn't remember it having a Valley Girl tone. But I remember reading the description before I watched it and it was saying that there were Valley Girls. And I'm like... Mm-hmm. And so it kind of went in my head, and I was doing that whole stereotypical, like, you know, and I was like,
I think they're just girls from the Valley. I think that's all these were supposed to be.
Right.
Because they didn't really, I mean, she was the girl, the sister was ditzy and tried to be funny and stuff, but the main character, she wasn't really like that.
No, she was tough, man. She was
all right.
Yeah, she could drive motorcycles, play video games. Mm-hmm. You know, she was Superman lore, put that guy to school.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the Superman lore. That's right.
Yeah.
I grew up in the lower Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and it was constantly referred to as, you know, living in the valley, and it was very, very confusing to me for a long time. I was probably a teenager before I finally understood that when movies and TV shows were referring to Valley Girls, they were not referring to my classmates.
That is funny you'd say that, because we also referred to that where I grew up, the Salt Lake Valley was called the Valley. And you'd say, where are you guys from? We're from the Valley. So when I started hearing about Valley Girl stuff and being naive and dumb, I thought that meant people I would know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. It was this weird stereotype that Moon Zappa tried to destroy. And Ibbot can't find.
No, I can't even buy the MP3 on Amazon. It's just not.
Just Brian Ibbot is shopping.
It's a terrible song. I remember it was on. It was on the Dr. Demento show for a while.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was almost always in the Funny Five. Mm-hmm. Right after it came out.
Is he still around? Is he still doing that?
Yeah. Okay. As far as I know, I haven't heard it in eons. But
feels like he should be dead.
I hear that it's still in syndication. He's still doing it.
Okay. I just think that I'm always surprised to hear that stuff's still going. Yeah. That'll be film sack in 20 years. All right. Yeah. Weird laugh number one. Oh, I hate it. I pulled out my favorite part, though. Oh, yeah. That'll start to kill you. Oh, dude.
Yes. Stop, boys.
Oh, man.
All right. So Chakotay says split a lot. And this is one example, but he said split. Like, we need to split. That guy just split. We're going to split. That kind of stuff. And here he is. Split.
I don't know who you are out there, but I have a gun. So if I were you, I'd split while I had a chance. Ugh.
Commander Chakotay.
Split.
Quit playing in the holodeck and come back to bed.
We're taking off your gloves over and over and over.
Commander Paris and I are waiting naked in the freaking captain's chambers.
To my waiting room.
Yes. Chakotay. I like your tattoo.
Chakotay, let's see. Can't say what? Oh, can't say. Here's a line we can't say in movies today. You'll probably guess what it is, but we can't get away with it anymore. Here it is.
Think it over. You said he didn't come on to you last night.
So
that means that the last guy on Earth is either a gentleman or a fag.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And no one bats an eye. No one thinks twice.
It might not. There's so many other things it could mean.
What, a bundle of sticks? What are you going to do?
It could mean that he was tired. It could mean that he didn't recognize the gravity of the situation.
It could mean he's a British cigarette.
It could mean that he had a rash. You know, he's not just a gentleman or gay. Like, there could be all kinds of reasons he didn't come on to her.
Right, but she's a Valley girl and dumb, and she thinks he's gay, and she used the F word. Damn her.
Right.
Great bad guy voice. Love this guy.
If Bachelorette number one isn't out here in half a tick, I'm going to ice Bachelorette number two.
Yeah, okay.
You know, something was annoying about him, but something was also so right.
Yeah,
I mean, he was kind of bad in a really good way.
Yeah, I liked him.
I tried to look and see if we'd seen him in anything else, and it doesn't look like we've seen him. No. It doesn't look like he's done much else.
No, he's like the Matthew Lillard of his time. You know, you just kind of hate him, but you kind of love him all at the same time.
I like him. Right. I think he was all right. You've already heard this. So I'll play it again.
Come on, Willie. She means it.
Hey.
Yeah, come on, Willie. Get out of my pants, Willie.
I don't have to be an actual actor to do this, right? I can just walk on and do it. Best swear in the movie?
You're crazy!
I'm not crazy. I just don't give a f***.
Hey, there's your one per PG-13 movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Little allowance there, right? Threw that out there like a big old, like a boss.
Yeah.
That's
why I told my kids to leave the room. Get out! Get out!
What is Let's Play Again? Well, here it is.
Let's play a game. Oh. It's called Scary Noises.
Scary Noises.
I love that.
I was going to put a fart noise on the end of that, but I didn't have time. All right. Now, here's a hick saying. Okay, Randy's from Texas. Brian, you live in North or South Carolina. I grew up in some parts of Salt Lake you could call pretty hicky. David, I can't speak for you.
No. We have Aurora.
Yeah, so you got that. So someone explain to me this line Chakotay says while he's pretending to be a hick.
We go through them freeways like turkey crap through a tin horn.
Turkey crap through a tin horn? Anyone know?
I don't even remember him saying that.
We go through traffic like turkey crap through a tin horn.
It means it sounds like this.
Is that what he means?
I don't know.
I think he means speed because he's talking about traffic, but I can't figure that out.
So I think he's messing up Patton's quote, right? General Patton said we're going to go through him like crap through a goose, like shit through a tin horn.
Really? I don't. Yeah. Oh, maybe then.
And
hold
I
on.
Think he just. I think he just put that all together. I wonder if it was on the script. I wonder if it was like written out correctly.
Fantastic. I used to use a harpsichord builder who, whenever something went absolutely perfectly, would say like shit through a tin horn. There's a bunch of references to this.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess Chakotay was onto something.
I like it.
It's the song of his people. All right.
crap does go through a goose.
Yeah. Well, I have firsthand knowledge of this. I went to one of these goose farm, and they poo like crazy.
Oh, just go to a pond where there's some Canadian geese. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, they don't know what to do with themselves. They just defecate all day long.
This is a it's a World War II saying, like shit through a tin horn.
Yeah. Huh.
Did they make a? Okay, I'm just gonna have to accept that one.
Yeah,
it didn't last the test of time, you know.
No, it really didn't.
It's not like early to bed, early to rise, or freaking. I don't know. There's some good Shakespeare ones, but that one, no one says that to me. My dad never said that. Tin horn?
Yeah, what? Why?
How about like shit through a Tim Hortons? How about that?
A Tim Hortons. That's a lot better. That's a lot better. That All makes right. sense, actually.
That does kind of make sense. And making sense like we often do, it makes sense right now to do our awards. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, line up to the red carpet. It's time for this film to receive its awards. And they are thus, the Video Game Award for Tempest. Great use of that. That was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The Best Getting Your Best Friend to Swallow Her Gum Award goes to Reggie for knocking her sister in the back and then having her swallow her gum. That was great. The Best Use of Chakotay Award, especially his hick impression. I don't know how else you're going to get, you know, what else are you going to do with Chakotay? Good Chakotay. Get him to do that. That's great. Trek stuff, Star Trek Connections, Robert Beltran. He played Hector. He was Commander Chakotay in Voyager. Fred Stafford, he was a film editor for Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And finally, Alfred T. Ferrante, sound recordist. He was a sound recordist, Foley, ADR mixer, who worked on several episodes of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager. Lots of Star Trek-y going on right there.
Yeah.
Soundtrack grade, I would give it E for 80s as hell and kind of real bad. Did you like the music? Let's say the songs, Brian. Did you think
they were okay. It was just 80s pap. You know, I mean, it was just basically such throwaway. You described it as really, and it's a great description of it. There was nothing memorable about any of the music they used in this film.
There's a quality to that music that I don't even know if there's a name for it, or maybe there isn't a name for it. But there's a kind of music that movies use sometimes, but did exist on the top 40. That were just absolutely just horrible, not memorable, not by people you know,
right?
They're like the it's the equivalent of the TV themes era in the 80s, also for things like T.J. Hooker and Simon and Simon.
Stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just one notch on the totem pole lower than Peter Cetera.
Yeah. Just barely, though.
Like, if Peter Cetera was somebody you never heard of, then that would be what those songs would be.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a special kind of thing that you just don't hear that. I don't know what today's equivalent is of that. I don't think we have one. I don't think so. Maybe. Well, like, Call Me Maybe, freaking something, something, that kind of stuff, that might be it.
Yeah, but it's just so much easier nowadays to cheaply make good-sounding music. And in the 80s, you know, you go get a Casio keyboard for $150 and like you could make horrible sounding music. But, you know, it was new, so nobody kind of realized it for a while.
Fair enough. Well, let's realize it now with 140 characters or less. It's the Twitter post time. Randy, sum up the film, won't you, please?
Night of the Comet, my new favorite Christmas movie. It's a faithful remake of It's a Wonderful Life. You'll never prove me wrong because no one will ever watch this crap.
<That's> true. And a character to spare. Brian Dunaway. And he's off. Fantastic.
That was,
oh my God, there's a pile of red dust on the floor where Brian Dunaway used to be.
I would like to point out that was less than 140 characters.
There's absorbent vomit dust where Brian was just moments ago. Ah, crap. And he ain't picking up. His internet is having a turd tonight. Okay, he's back. Brian's back from the orange barf dust that used to be him. And nice. He's here to tell us in 140 characters or less what he thought of the film.
Oh, how do I sound? Do I sound okay?
Yeah, you sound great.
Oh, excellent. All right. Twitter, Night of the Comet, Clue Edition. It was the hobo zombie in the alley with the pipe wrench on the dude's soft skull. Chakotay is not gay.
All right. I will take that. Was the guy, he was eating somebody, right? Clear that up for me. The hobo guy? All right.
Yeah, he was holding some meat.
Okay.
Maybe it was a semi-dead cat.
Oh, and she went and puked because she thought it was her friend Larry.
Yeah. Right. I love
think
the fact
that Larry actually.
Yeah.
I think there should be more hobo zombies who hide in cardboard boxes and jump out and tell you to come here. I mean, I thought that was.
He talked.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he had a voice. That was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're smart zombies. Finally, Brian Ebbett.
Night of the Comet. Watch the movie. At the shopping montage, pretend the credits are rolling and switch it off. Better movie.
Nice. Agreed. I didn't remember the rest anyway. Well, here's what,
inadvertently done that my whole life.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what I learned while you ruined your movie with the dumb secret government people. There are worse ways to die than by having the soothing sound of 1984 saxophone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
High heels beat machine guns anytime. Mm. And oh no, dude's wearing sunglasses. He's infected. they wore that like a badge of honor. Hey, we got emails. One from, who's this from?
Oh my gosh, that's a real name?
Shoot, I didn't get his name. Dear Scott, Randy, Brian, and Brian, I hate to be that guy. He's in Salt Lake, but I missed his name for some reason. Can't leave this out. On your latest episode, number 122, you talked about stormtroopers having different voices in episodes 4, 5, and 6, but them all being from Jango Fett from 2 and 3. The reason for that is that they is that the clones in 2 and 3 were the first few versions of the clones. Later on, in between 3 and 4, there was a lot of time for the Empire to experiment with cloning of all kinds of strong, resourceful people to better clone their troopers. They even tried cloning Force-sensitive people, but the Force powers didn't transfer unless you count the Force Unleashed video game as canon. So that's the lore behind the stormtroopers, and they're always...
This person is counting something outside of the 6 films as canon.
There's some books and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's all we were saying. We were like movies only.
Yeah.
So if you're counting like the Chronicles of Thrawn or whatever the hell it is, we don't know what you're talking about. He's from SLC, so represent. Also, Sam S., whose name I did get, said, "Hey, guys. So I wanted to send you a quick note and say thank you. Last week, my husband told me that he didn't think our marriage was working and he was moving out. Today, what? He took the last load of his things and left me in a weirdly empty apartment. I just finished listening to the Barbed Wire episode and laughed for the first time in a week. You guys are awesome. Thanks for making such a great show. Love you guys, Sam S.
We love you too.
Yeah. I'm not happy about the breakup, but I'm glad that we brought some laughter there.
Right, absolutely.
Hopefully we do today as well.
Next week we will be funnier.
Because we're watching the game, yeah?
We're watching this movie.
I've never seen the game, so I'm really excited about this. I'm really, really excited to see it. So this is Fincher, right? And
Michael Douglas, Sean Penn.
Who else? Is there somebody else I should be thinking of? Who's the girl? Who's the lady friend in this one? Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
There is? There isn't.
Well, there's a woman
What's her name? Yeah.
Isn't there a movie? There's a lady and everything, I thought. Here it is. It's Deborah Kara Unger.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And Anne Katrina. I don't know who she is. Elizabeth Dennehy is in it. I wonder if she's related to Brian Dennehy. Right.
Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that in Netflix, when you search the game, you're watching the Michael Douglas film and not the other title. There is a 2006 film called The Game that we are not going to ever watch.
No. But this is a reminder that same lady, Deborah Kara Unger, was in Payback, Mel Gibson's Payback.
She's also in Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, wow, weird.
Yep.
Dude, Payback is so good.
Trying to figure out what else. I wonder if she was in ER. I know I've seen her in... I saw her in Payback, but I'm trying to remember what else we've seen her in.
She's cute. Born in 64. Mm-hmm. A little bit older now. She's in something called Combat Hospital last year. Hadn't heard of that. Star Wars The Old Republic, the video game.
The game is a psychological thriller. We haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Oh, I saw her. I remember. I saw her in Silent Hill, the movie Silent Hill. She's the main chick in that.
Mm.
Yeah.
That exclamation by you just now scared the willies out of me.
Did it? I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's Silent Hill, after all. It's supposed to be a little scary. So there you go. Those that's coming up. Also, after that, are we doing Wet Hot American Summer? Have we decided?
Wet Hot. We're not doing the dry version.
Okay. Wet Hot American Summer. Wet Hot American Summer. I don't know what to emphasize now.
Heat. Right.
This is not a movie I've seen, so I have no idea what I'm getting into here. But I'm sure somebody out there will know. It's been recommended to us. It's also forever on streaming, so you'll be able to see it as well. But prepare for next week by watching The Game. And we'll be right back here with yet another episode to talk about that. The website to visit is FilmSack. The email to send an email to is filmsack@gmail.com. And the Twitter to follow is FilmSack. You can follow us individually as well. I never mentioned this, but I will today. You can follow me at Scott Johnson, Randy at Randy Deluxe. You can find Brian Ibbett at Coverville. And you can find Brian Dunaway at Mission Deep. Leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love that as well. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Interesting. You know, one more thing about my theory about this actually just being all in Chipotle's mind. Yeah, I said Chipotle. The girl says when she's in the radio station, she says, "Beam me up, Scotty," and then Chakotay appears for the first time.
What?
Interesting.
True story.
Is that true?
Commander Chipotle. Yeah. I'd like some cheese and sour cream on that. Please.
Are you out of black beans, Commander Chipotle?
Let's play a game. It's called Scary Noises. Have you ever been hit with dot smell? Milk duds? Those things hurt. Daddy would have gotten us Uzis.
Screw it. I'm dressing up as Santa and stealing some cars.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.